Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
What is the deal, Panther fans? It's your boy, Tony Dunn, a.k.a. The Professor. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast. We are doing a short show tonight, New York Jets at Carolina Panthers preview. Hoping to get a hold of Joe Person. We're still trying to get him on the line, so we'll be waiting on that. So we're either going to have Joe Person with The Athletic helping us get a quick preview of update on what the Panthers have been looking like in camp and what we should expect in week one, or we get stood up on the air as we talk about this stuff. Right now, Cody, football is happening. Real, live, crazy football is happening. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys are marching down the field. Well, I wouldn't say marching, but they are methodical. They're moving the ball slowly down the field. While it's 3rd and 15 on my screen right now, and did not connect. So they're not moving it down. But football's here, Cody, and the Panthers will be playing before you know it on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, NFL football is back. Tom Brady's old ass is at it again, trying to wreak havoc for people. I'm surprised the Cowboys actually came out looking pretty strong. But, hey, Joe Person, you know, at least everybody gets a little impromptu C3 stream for us to talk for a little bit. And, yeah, I'm just pumped football is back. It seems like every single day that we inch closer to the start of the season, I'm just more excited to see this defense, man. And, yeah, Sam Darnold, too, but I really have a feeling that this defense, I'm going to smack people in the mouth, and I'm pumped for it, man. Super pumped. By the way, we might as well give a quick shout-out to some people in the chat room, man. Tin Tizzy, Sideshow Rob, Tim Estes, Carter Rodney, and AJ Lindsay. What's going on with you boys? Happy you could stop in to enjoy the little impromptu stream.
All right, so let's go ahead and just kind of run through some of the topics we're interested in getting Person's thoughts on if we get a hold of him tonight. I think for me, the number one thing on my mind is progress report for Sam Darnold. Right now, the Carolina Panthers, they've moved on from Teddy Bridgewater in this past offseason. Teddy Bridgewater wins the starting job in Denver. And some people believe that it really wasn't even a contest all along, as Fangio got the guy he wanted to be starting. It's crazy how many people love Teddy Bridgewater but us in the NFL.
And yeah, then, I don't understand.
And I do believe that he will not start all season. I don't think it's because of injury. I think he gets benched at some point in the season. That's my guess, especially if that defense looks pretty good for the Broncos. All right. So I want a progress report on Sam Darnold, who the Panthers went and traded for. And I felt like early on in training camp, we were like, oh, man. Interception. It was like a little hype or buzz. I don't know if it'd be buzz. It would be like disappointing buzz about Darnold's interception rate. And then I felt like that talk went away completely, especially when we started doing the joint practices. And then we did get to see Sam Darnold in the final preseason game. It looked all right. So, what are your thoughts on Darnold's progression at this point, the opportunity he has with the Carolina Panthers, and do we really know much about the progress?
No, I mean, I don't feel like we really know a ton other than what we've, one, seen from the preseason, and two, heard about from training camp and joint practices. I think Sam has really looked consistent. I mean, again, I think especially when you're playing against your own guys, you're judging, well, do the Panthers have offensive woes or do we just really have a good defense? And it seems like both of those things could be true, at least. We'll see this Sunday. But Sam Darnold, to me, doesn't really have to do too much. I mean, he doesn't, you know, we don't have to be super impressed with him throughout preseason or training camp. I mean, that's not when meaningful football is played. Sam seems very confident. A lot of people seem very confident in him. He definitely has a higher ceiling than Teddy Bridgewater ever had. So we just have to see him put it together. I think he will, and I hope he will.
I would say the next thing I would like to know is, does this camp, and I'll get your take on it, has this Panthers training camp seemed somewhat uneventful? And maybe that's a good thing, right? Tim Tizzy said, AKA no energy, Tony. You want to get up? I got to get pumped. I got to get up.
Shotgun a Red Bull.
I lived a little too hard last night. I'm ready for bed. But this does seem like an uneventful camp, and maybe that's good, right? No injuries, no major injuries that we've seen. Shai Smith, I think, is the only notable one, right, in that final preseason. I think it was the final preseason game. On top of that, we haven't really had the COVID bug popping around here, right? So it has been an uneventful camp in my mind, and maybe that's a good thing. All right, guys, we got Joe Person from The Athletic. If you want intelligent, comprehensive coverage of the Carolina Panthers and all sports, I suggest you subscribe to The Athletic like I have. The link is in the show notes below. Joe Person, you've been the beat reporter following the Panthers for as long as I can really remember. We've been doing this podcast now for 9 years. And I'm pretty sure you've been on the beat the entire time.
Yeah. Thanks for making me feel old, man. 2010 was my first year. Of course, that was a miserable season, but very interesting. I mean, a lot of things going on behind the scenes that year. And of course, that 2-14 year setting up Cam Newton, which, you know, led to 2015. And that great run that Ron and Cam and those guys had from 2013 to 15. But yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of good, I've seen some bad, I've seen some ugly. But it's a great job, man. I had covered the Falcons some in a previous life and was doing a lot of college football before I came to Charlotte. So appreciate y'all having me on.
Man, we enjoy following your work. I was going to start off with this as we brought you on to kind of get some insight into Panthers training camp, number one, right? The conclusion of that with the preseason, but also to look ahead to week one as the Carolina Panthers host the New York Jets, Darnold facing his old team. My question right away is all eyes are on Sam Darnold. At least for us, what is the progress report of Sam Darnold to this point through training camp and the preseason?
You know, I did a column this week for The Athletic, and I was kind of brought back to a comment that Robbie Anderson made after the Steelers preseason game, where I think it was a question I asked him just to kind of how, as you guys know, that was Darnold's really first and only significant preseason action. Anyway, Anderson said, you know, he looked comfortable and he looked pretty good. And I really think that was my takeaway from Sam Darnold throughout much of training camp. Like, it wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't bad. You know, it wasn't like awful, you know, because you guys know the scouting report on him were all these interceptions and turning the ball over. But just the fact that he protected the football. He was not, you know, was not putting them behind the chains. And I think Robbie Anderson said it best. He was pretty good, and that might be enough. Like, if you get a healthy Christian McCaffrey back, you have these weapons, you have a very young, ascending defense, I really think that pretty good might be good enough for the 2021 Carolina Panthers.
Did you find this training camp to be uneventful and somewhat vanilla? I feel like in the past, it's like every time we're getting like these little videos. And like you said, is that it was just like pretty good when it comes to Darnold. I don't feel like – has it been a little more buttoned up in Rule's second year? Or is that just me not getting every detail that I feel like we've gotten in the past?
Yeah, you know what? It's a great question, and I do think some of camp was a little bit, as you say, a little blah. But then there were days where the defense, like I'm thinking of one of the last day, maybe the very last day, it was when they played when they were practicing against the Ravens, and they had like five takeaways against the Ravens. They saw Lamar. And then they were playing the Ravens second teamers too. But the bottom line was Davion Nixon that day had two picks, including a pick six. Dante Jackson had an interception. Shaq Thompson had his interception. So, like, that was an exciting day. And I really think, listen, they're not – I don't know that they're going to go out and get five interceptions in week one, but I think they're going to take the ball away from Zach Wilson. I think this defense, especially the way – Phil Snow calls it, with a very, multiple coming at you from all different angles. I think they are going to be a takeaway type defense. I think it starts against a rookie quarterback Sunday in Zach Wilson.
Joe, Cody here, co-host for C3. Glad you could join us. I actually do want to shift to that defense, because that's one of the things that Panther fans are pretty much unanimous on. We get this feeling that this defense has a chance to be really vicious, especially if you look at this early schedule. I mean, there is a ton of opportunities for interceptions, but especially looking at the way Scott Fitterer has built this defense, specifically on the edges with Brian Burns and Hassan Reddick, we get the feel that this defense is going to be much more physical, a lot faster. Do you get that feeling that this defense has the potential to be something special, or should Panther fans kind of temper their expectations?
Yeah, I do. I mean, are there some potential holes, at middle linebacker, maybe with Jermaine Carter, who I think is solid. I think some, the safety depth, hopefully, those guys, Chin and Burris, stay healthy. Although, you know what, I was about to knock the safety depth, but I think Sean Chandler really stepped up this preseason. Now, will it carry over into regular season games for a guy that really hadn't done much in the league? Yeah, who knows? But, no, I'm with you, Cody, man. Like, I think the defense, I think Brian Burns is just terrific. I mean, I'd be shocked if he doesn't finish with, like, 12 sacks this year. I think Hassan Reddick's going to be a nice addition too. I think he's going to have a hard time matching last year's numbers. I wrote about this too. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't think he's going to fall off the map. I think maybe he's like a six or seven sack type guy, as opposed to 12 and a half like he had last year. Yeah, I think they're going to get production from other people. I think Morgan Fox, a guy we haven't talked about, I haven't written about very often. And, Phil Snow really likes him as you guys know how Snow loves these chess pieces. I think they're going to use Fox inside on like third down. I think he's going to be kind of a run stopper type dude on first and second. And then he's going to go inside, and they think, his speed, they might be able to. His speed might not show up on the edge like Burns does and Reddick's, but inside, I think they feel like Morgan Fox can really create some mismatches as they just try to put their best four or five pass rushers on the field.
This is kind of a hot take question, and not like a hot take, but is Phil Snow the best coach on the staff? Like, that's up where he's our favorite anyway, right? As just like as fans on the sideline, like, we like the scruffy Phil Snow. And man, that defense got better each week last year with some real limitations personnel wise. And I would say that the offense didn't get better each week last year. It kind of started out hot for, and there were some different times where we thought, man, we were starting to see some little things. But what do you think about that? That's my take. Is Phil Snow best coach on this staff?
I mean, you make a strong case for him for the reasons you just mentioned. And just, I mean, his scheme is very innovative. It's different. I mean, I remember Aaron Rodgers after that, what was that, week 15? Of course, they ended up losing. But he said, you know, like it took, I feel like he said it took him like a half to really kind of figure out what the Panthers were doing. He said it was like a college look. And, you know, in year two, this will be a great test for Phil Snow, because there is a season's worth of tape now out on that defense. And so what may have caught the Green Bay Packers and a bunch of other teams by surprise last year, these guys, like, there's no secrets in the NFL, certainly when you come to year two. And so I think that's going to be incumbent on Phil Snow to do some self-scouting. I think he's a very smart guy who's, you know, forgotten more football than a lot of young coaches, you know, even know. But you know, I want to see what Joe Brady does in year two also. Look, a couple of Teddy Bridgewater's criticisms were on the mark, that whether or not they practiced it, whatever, the bottom line was red zone and 2-minute offense last year were bad. And they were responsible for some of those late game losses, a lot of which we all sort of put on Teddy's shoulders, and he deserved the blame for some of them. But I thought Joe Brady deserved the blame for a couple of them too. So if he is like the next up-and-comer LaFleur brother, Sean McVay prototype, I want to see more out of him in this offense this year, 2-minute in red zone.
You know, we would be remiss if we didn't at least ask you once about this offensive line going into this season. Matt Rhule has now famously called it I-85, a work in progress. And, I mean, I'll be honest, a lot of Panther fans didn't necessarily take to that comment too well. It didn't really give a lot of faith in the protection in front of Sam Darnold. Knowing that this is, one, such an important year for Sam, and just trying to rejuvenate his career, what do you make of this offensive line as it is? Because I've been a long believer that I kind of feel that the offensive line that the Panthers start the year with won't necessarily be the formation that they finish with. I continue to think that Taylor Moton probably could play left tackle, and this is something that we've been talking about a lot. So we wanted to get your take and opinion on this offensive line formation, and do you think it's going to hold up to the rigors of week one?
Certainly the biggest question mark on the team. I mean, I don't think there's
– Welcome to Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, the same conversation
every year.
No doubt. I mean, listen, that's what you get when you try to address left tackle in the second round with Greg Little. And I know they traded up, but it was the 38th or 39th pick, whatever it was. It's what you get when you wait this year to the third round to take an offensive tackle. I mean, if you want Jordan Gross's successor, I can't believe we're still talking about this, but it is what it is. You got to draft those guys like in the first 7 or 8 picks. And they didn't do it last year. They didn't do it this year. I mean, they haven't done it, period. You know, and, you know, some of it was bad luck. If we want to retrace the history a little bit, like nobody thought Michael Orr was going to just have concussions end his career in 2016 early after he'd had a pretty darn good year during the Super Bowl year. Matt Khalil, we should have seen coming, and so should have Dave Gettleman. But Cody, coming back to this year, I you can't sugarcoat it. Like, I'm with you. I don't think this line, as it's currently constituted, is going to be very good. I don't know that they're going to be one of the worst. They might be serviceable. You know, I thought all along Dennis Daly was going to be in the starting lineup. I thought it would be eventually. I thought it would be on the left side in place of Pat Elflein instead of replacing John Miller, who's in the COVID protocol. And so, you know, Dennis Daly's not a bad player. He really isn't. We dump on Herney for that 2019 draft class, and there were a lot of misses. But Dennis Daly looks like he could join Brian Burns for at least being, you know, a salvageable at least draft. But yeah, I don't, you know, Cam Irving's the key to it. I mean, I think you can get by with bad or decent guard play. You can't get by in this league if one of your tackles, especially left tackle, is substandard.
And I wanted to kind of continue to go on that one more time. I know Brady Christensen played a lot of right tackle throughout this training camp and preseason, and especially knowing that, one, Cam Irving has a history of injury going back with the Cowboys, but also that Taylor Moten is listed at number two at left tackle. So it kind of seems like that's their backup plan anyway. Did you feel at any point in time Brady Christensen was ever in consideration to start at one side or the other, or was his plan always to be that backup right tackle should Taylor end up having to move?
Yeah, I think they wanted to see what they had in him. And I think, you know, they viewed him, you know, it's funny. Fitterer comes from a place in Seattle that was very specific about some certain measurements, especially like they wanted like corners with 33 inch arms or 32. I forget the number. But you can go through their draft history in Seattle, and that, you know, you had 31-inch arms. You weren't getting, as a corner, you weren't getting drafted. And they seem pretty specific about that with left tackle here and length, in terms of arm length and everything. And they don't think that Brady Christensen is long enough and has that length. And they didn't, frankly, they didn't draft him to be a left tackle. To, like we said earlier, if you're waiting to the third round, you're not getting your left tackle of the future. You're getting a guy who might be a pretty good player. And I think Brady Christensen is going to be a good player. I think it's going to be on the right side. You know, Cody, could it be this year? Maybe. I mean, maybe at right guard, depending on how John Miller plays when he comes back off of COVID. I want to ask Rule tomorrow about Miller's status for next week. I mean, he's not going to come back until about the middle of next week. So he may be, for all I know, he may be a scratch for the Saints game too. I don't know that he is, but certainly the potential is there. So I like Brady Christensen. I really do. I think we might see him before the year's out, but I'm almost certain it'll be on the right side.
What were there any surprises when it came to this roster when they made the final cut? And we can kind of look at this in two ways, as specific players, but, or we could even look at this as right now there's this whole kicking game, the return game, as well as the kicker, Joey Sly's released after really giving the keys, right? Zero competition. We had heard that he had been seeing the sports psychologist in the offseason through the Carolina Panthers. And it felt like they were, by not having another kicker in here, they were trying to really boost his confidence in a way and saying, we believe in you, this is going to happen. And he didn't give them any reason to. He didn't make it easy on them. They gave him a lot of chances to. So we have a new kicker who's a giant, giant man with the greatest mustache, at least from all these pictures. You got to love this stash. But at the same time, we have no idea who's going to be returning punts. To the fact that we keep coming around to DJ Moore in critical situations. Chuba Hubbard, he can't even catch the ball out of the backfield. He's going to be our kickoff return guy. What's going on with this roster, particularly with those kickers return game first, and your just overall thoughts on this kind of final?
I think Erickson's going to end up being the punt returner. I know they signed him last week, or claimed him, I guess. And they've got him on practice squad right now, but I've heard Matt Rhule talk about him enough that maybe it's not this week, but I think ultimately, I mean, the guy, you know, he was as recently as last year, I think he was like in the top seven in the league in punt returns. So, you know, he had averaged 10 yards per punt return last year, which was about twice what Farrell Cooper averaged here. So the guy's pretty good. And so I just don't think you go bring a guy like that in and sign him and just let him rot on your practice squad. I think I'll be a little surprised if they don't make that move like tomorrow and you know, bring him up and let him earn punts. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been doing this 11 years, 12 years. I've been wrong a couple times, but I think if it's not this week, Erickson will be the punt returner sooner rather than later. Surprises was your first part of your question. Nothing like high up on the roster. I was not surprised at all about David Moore. I thought he had a very ho-hum camp. He just, where Terrace Marshall was standing out at practices, Moore was sort of just a guy. I mean, he didn't do anything like terrible. You know, it wasn't like a guy, it wasn't like Joey Sly where it was so obvious, but he just didn't do anything.
Russell Shepard. Remember Russell Shepard? You know,
like a blast from the past. Or how about Sehi Ajiratutu?
But when it comes to that is we were just talking about Terrace Marshall Jr. talking about David Moore. Strange thing to me about the roster is the guys that they brought in free agency are the guys that they shipped out. Denzel Perryman gone. I mean, Hassan Reddick's the only one that made the dang cut, it feels like. F-line, but Perryman, Denzel Perryman traded away, and the other was David Moore. Is that's kind of odd, isn't it? A little bit.
It didn't speak too well of the free agency class, to be sure.
Oh,
yeah. You know, of course, Cam Irving and Elfline, you mentioned, we'll see. I mean, they were among the lowest rated offensive linemen the last 3 years, but yeah, man, Perryman, that was a big miss. Like, not that they gave him like just life-changing money, but you know, I don't even think he was a good fit for them just with the program and the brand that Rule likes to talk about. Like, from the first day of camp when he showed up and he's waving around the speeding ticket and he's like got a helmet on, like a Panther helmet on in the parking lot at Wofford, it just is like, they don't want them all to be like, you know, robots. Like, look at Robbie Anderson. I mean, they're okay with personality, but I just, something about Perryman was a bad fit. And the few times he was on the field, he didn't do anything. And, you know, that I can't disagree with you. I mean, they missed badly on him. And you can't help but say they missed on David Moore, too.
I wanted to ask you real quick about Matt Rhule before you left us tonight. And once again, thank you for your time. We appreciate you answering some questions from us tonight. But how do you think Matt Rhule's transition from college to the NFL has been? Last year was his first year at the NFL, and what a year it was, too, with COVID and not having a training camp, you know, no fans in the stands. I mean, in a lot of ways, this season, even going to Wofford has been a brand new thing for him. How do you think he's made that transition, and do you feel like he's moving along that trajectory that David Tepper saw in him and how he turned around Temple and Baylor?
So, great question. I think Matt Rhule's a smart guy. I think he knows situational football. I think he knows a lot about pretty much every position. He's coached coached offense, defense, special teams. All that said, I think he still has to evolve into more of an NFL coach. And by that, I mean, you know, it's fine your first year to surround yourself with a bunch of Baylor and Temple guys. But at like some point, you got to realize that like there are some other fish in the ocean. And some of them are bigger, faster, stronger than the ones you coached at Baylor and Temple. Listen, they hit well with Robbie Anderson. I mentioned Sean Chandler earlier, although he's, you know, kind of a reserve player. I just think as they evolve, this is a team with a ton of cap space coming up the next couple years. And they need to go, you know, Matt Rhule needs to go coach some people other than the folks I just mentioned. So it all comes down to quarterback, right? Like we can talk and we can talk all we want about these other positions, and we should, and they're important. But since Matt Rhule got here, you know, he and Herney went and got Bridgewater. That they talk about punting quickly. And now he and Fitterer went and got Darnold. And so if they go 0-2 right out of the gate, then, you know, then I think seriously we have to really question their evaluation skills when it comes to the most important position on the field. And will Rhule get another year? If, you know, if let's say they go like 5-12 or 6-13. Well, they wouldn't be that. 6-11. I'm still – clearly math was not my strong suit.
We're getting used to it too still.
I know. It's weird. Incidentally, I picked the Panthers to go 9-8. This feels like a team that in the old would be 8-8. So I think they're 8-9, 9-8, whatever. Point is, I think Matt Rhule will get another year unless the wheels completely fall off. But he better hope and Scott Fitter better hope like that they – got the quarterback thing right. I mean, they didn't give up a ton of draft capital. I understand it. Was, you know, it's not like they went and got Deshaun Watson and gave up the farm. But speaking of which, if they have enough, if Darnold's not the answer, then I think we're going to hear a lot of speculation about Deshaun Watson.
Wow, really? But then since you mentioned it, let's kind of go on that a little, because we keep on hearing the Panthers' name attached to Deshaun Watson. And obviously that comes with such a bag of worms, considering what he's dealing with now. But we know that David Tepper, you know, spent a lot of money on the NFL football team, and he wants to turn around on his investment. Do you get the feel that if David Tepper believes that this team is a Deshaun Watson away, that he would give up, you know, the potential 3 first-round picks and potentially players that the Texans are looking to get in return for Deshaun?
I think Tepper is all about making the a big splash. I mean, that's sort of his personality. I think he was the first one that wanted to punt on Teddy. And I don't think he would hesitate a moment to punt on Darnold after just 1 year. Even, you know, I know they picked up the 5th-year option. They show they'll eat that money. They'll pay to not have Teddy Bridgewater play for them this year. Can they handle all the PR stuff with Deshaun Watson? A lot of it depends. I'm seeing some of the comments here too. But I may have been putting the wagon out in front of the horse a little bit. We need to see how this is going to go in civil court and maybe criminal court before all is said and done. But I think would the Panthers be interested? Absolutely. Could they handle the PR thing? I mean, I think every market has to and every organization has to have that conversation. And I think you figure, you know what, this will pass. We're going to have to deal with a couple months, maybe a whole season of protests outside our building. But would Tepper do it? I think he would.
Is Shaq Thompson a disappointment?
Shaq Thompson? I think Shaq Thompson's solid. I'll say that. I wouldn't call him a disappointment, no. He didn't hold a gun to Marty Herney's head to give him that contract. I mean, that's the contract Herney
another
gave.
Bad contract.
I think Shaq's fine and solid. I would like to see Shaq take the next step to become a Pro Bowl type player. Can he do it? I don't know. I mean, he hadn't yet. I mean, now what is this, year 5 or 6? So maybe this is as best as you're going to see out of Shaq Thompson, which we're back to that phrase again. Pretty good.
Pretty good. What do you think? Tell us as fans on opening week, the Panthers hosting New York Jets, what are you going to be looking at throughout that game? I mean, obviously, we're all watching the game. We're going to look at Darnold and stuff. But, like, how are you mentally preparing, I guess, to cover this game on Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I want to look a lot at Cam Irving. As I said earlier, I think he's the key. Because if he can't do it and you have to start thinking about shifting Moten over, I just think you end up making yourself weaker in two positions. I mean, Taylor Moten's best position is the right side. It just is. He's got so many more reps there. I mean, I think he's on the verge of becoming a Pro Bowl right tackle. And I think he goes to the left side and he's sort of back, not at back, I won't say back at square one, but he's not knocking at the door for a Pro Bowl. So I'm going to look a lot at Irving. Santoso to me is fascinating. Another thing I kind of wanted to ask Rule about this week, and maybe I will tomorrow. Is this sort of a one game tryout for Santoso? Because they don't owe the Giants that pick if Ryan Santoso is not on the roster in week two. And so Santoso, like, and listen, I think it's a great story. I did an interview with him last week. He was great, funny, smart, all those things. But that 52-yarder that he made against the Steelers, like, let's not forget, like, that caromed off Boink. The upright. Like, that wasn't splitting the uprights. So, like, just what this team and this market needs is yet another kicker drama. But I don't think it's out of the question. If he were to come out and, like, you know, let's say go 1 for 3 and miss two 48 and a 52-yard kick, I don't think it's out of the question that Dominic Eberle is the kicker in week two against the Saints, because he, you know, right now he's on right behind Santoso. I like a good story. I hope Santoso does not do that, but it is interesting to think about if he could be on a one game. Yeah,
as you bring that up, one of the things in the past I felt like is that when we played teams in the preseason, we were kind of looking at the guys they were going to cut and doing some valuation. Verity, I think it's Jason. I should know it. I'm an ECU alum, an ECU fan. Jake Verity. I think it's Jason Verity. He's the Baltimore special, man. They bring in a kicker every year. They know that Justin Tucker is going to be the kicker, and then they let him showcase his talent and they go trade him. Wonder why. Why were we so, I guess, I feel like the names that we picked, just, I don't know. Why did they go after Santoso? Like, what was it? Was he just slaying it in New York or something?
He was. I mean, to be fair, talking to people around the league, like, they were like, look, this guy would be a starting kicker on a lot of other teams. Not the Ravens and not the Giants. But he is well thought of. He's got a strong leg. I don't know that he's got as strong a leg as Joey Sly, but he's been more accurate. Like, yeah, but here's the thing. He's never kicked an extra point or a field goal in a regular season game. So when I interviewed him last week, I thought I was talking to a pretty cool, level-headed dude who didn't seem like the moment would be too big for him. Like, I don't think he's going to get out there and, like, you know, pee down his leg. Like, yeah, I think he's going to have some ice in his veins. But until he does it, we don't know.
You could see the weight almost when that doinked off the post and then went in. You could almost see the kind of like the tension and just release off of his face. He was smiling and you could be like, man, things are going to get easier for him. And then you look over at Joey Sly and it's just like dripping sweat and poor guys saying prayers on the sideline. All right. So you're going to look at Irvin. You're going to look at this kicker drama, kicker story. And I guess we got to look at Christian McCaffrey coming back. Heck yeah. And this defense.
Yeah. Hey, just FYI, unless I move my computer, I'm just about out of battery.
We'll let you go at this question anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, and I can go find my plug. I didn't think you wanted my kids and the dog in the background. So I bought the laptop upstairs. I'm excited to see McCaffrey. Could he go out and get hurt Sunday? Absolutely. But I don't, it's not going to be because he's injury prone or he's out of shape. Or, I mean, the guy is a workout freak. He's in the best shape of anyone on this team. And last year was just a fluke. I mean, the third injury would have been the one I was most concerned about because he did it kind of working out on his own. It sounded like I thought they should have had a little better handle on that. But he's in great shape. I think he's going to have a good year, and he's going to be Sam Darnold's best friend.
All right, Joe Person with The Athletic. Yeah, I've got the link to the invite link to The Athletic in the show description. I encourage you guys to use that link specifically because then it's going to hook me up with a discount next year on my subscription.
No, I want him to hit the link on my Twitter so then I get credit.
That you get the bonus. All right, go to Joe Person's link on his Twitter. Either one, check out The Athletic. I like the comprehensive coverage. How can they follow you on Twitter, Joe?
At Joseph Person. I'm trying. I'm getting a lot of nice comments here. I don't know how to leave a comment, so I'll just say thank you.
Where'd you go to college at?
Not Appalachian State. I went.
That's Darren Gant. I tried to tell them that's Darren Gant.
I was at William & Mary a long time ago. I played football, actually, with Mike Tomlin.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Well-known fact.
Awesome. And I know he went and did something with them just 2 years ago and, like, brought, like, I forgot what he did. He, like, went and did a coaching session for them and then bought the kids all, like, new pads or something like that.
Hey, we got a lot of William & Mary. Sean McDermott. Missed him by 1 year at William & Mary, and then Joe Brady I missed by a lot of years at William & Mary.
We'll be looking to see, man, if the Wonder Boy, Joe Brady, is he the Wonder Boy? I hope this offense cooks a little different this year. All right, Joe, thanks so much for your time. Well, hopefully we can catch up sometime later in the season with you, see how things are going.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, that's Joe Person with The Athletic. Cody, what'd you get? What'd you learn?
Man, I mean...
We know what we're talking about. We're sitting here watching all this stuff, and he's watching the same mess.
And, you know, we've said a lot of those same things, too, that if Sam Darnold flames out, we're going to have a real question about our front office's ability to evaluate the quarterback position. And, you know, that's something that we've been saying, and I think that's something that remains true. You know, I think he also kind of echoed a lot of what we said about the defense and how this defense, you know, The depth isn't great at linebacker and safety. And again, you know, we already knew that. But based on what our defensive line looks capable of doing, the defensive backfield, you know, he predicted a 9-8 or 8-9 kind of team. So that's middle of the pack, you know.
That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, it's the safe. It's the reasonable one, right? Is that if you say we're going to stink, that's just kind of being negative, Nelly. If you say we're going to go 12-5, that's almost a little too half full for a right. It's easy just to hit the fairway. And that's what I'm at. I think we're a 500 team, roughly, like about that. Now, we could be better. We could be better, and we could be worse.
And by the way, he also said very plainly that you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of faith in this offensive line. He even flat out agreed with me that the starting formation probably isn't going to be what we end up with at the end of this year. So I feel like that's probably where everyone's trepidation is right now. Even Joe Person is saying that that's the most, you know, talked about line position group, you know, on the team. So it really does seem as though everything kind of rests in the hands of our offensive line at this point. But again, we already knew that too.
When I learned one thing, and I wish if we had more time, you know, that's the thing, is we could go on chasing these rabbits all night. But when he said that moving on from Teddy Bridgewater, he believes was a David Tepper initiated move. I do get the sense that Tepper was hearing what we were saying, you know, like the fans and people. And man, and it was pretty clear Teddy couldn't push, right? It was pretty clear he couldn't push the ball downfield. I am curious if we get to look back in retrospect at this moment and get some inside information down the line. Were Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, I got the sense that Matt Rhule was tired of Teddy. Like, he realized it. But Joe seemed to suggest or imply that this was more driven from the top.
Yeah, and once again, he said another name that a lot of fans don't want to talk about, but it continues to be a story out there related to the Carolina Panthers. And like it or not, it's Deshaun Watson. Joe mentioned it again, and you know, it kind of confirms this belief. You know, he said that David Tepper was the one who punted on Teddy Bridgewater, and he made a really good point there too, is that we didn't mind eating the money in order to move on from Teddy. So it's not unrealistic to think that we would do the same thing with Sam Darnold if you really failed to impress. And again, this is so much crazy stuff surrounding Deshaun. But and Tony, I've said this on our podcast a bunch of times. I think that all of our biggest moves at quarterback this past few years have come directly from David Tepper. I think David Tepper wanted us to move on from Cam Newton, and I think David Tepper was the one that wasn't truly ever sold on Bridgewater and said, "Nah, we're not going to do this again." So now they're going to.
You might be right, bro. You might be right. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it's sounding like. What else did we learn? We really is. I think I was. We learned that I was right, that this has been kind of a ho-hum camp, like just. And you know, and even the fact that he said that Perryman didn't fit the brand.
Yeah.
I thought, and then there was the vaccination discussion. I didn't want to get into it. I did want to ask, do you think that had something to do with it? But it's interesting that he seems like that this coaching staff wants this to be a very just go to work. Type environment, and that's what this camp felt like. It felt uneventful, and maybe that's a good thing. You know, where we're not too high or too low on Sam Darnold, we're not going crazy. I think the intensity did ramp up with the defense towards the end. I gotta get David Newton on this show. I'm gonna get him on a preview for a week this year, and I will ask him, do you do it on purpose or is it accidental genius?
We will ask him, and we have to do right by these Panther fans. And if we get him on here, we have to ask him all the hard questions. Like we have to do our due. We have to be legit journalists, Tony Dunn, talking to David Newton. But I agree, we need to make it happen. And
I gotta ask him: do you stumble into genius? Or is it intentional, or is it just a disaster? And the most recent one is that he put, and I don't know if we talked about this on Tuesday's show, but he put that Dennis Daly will replace John Miller at right tackle.
Yeah.
Just like, all right. The game is on Sunday, 1:00. We'll be doing a post game show. We hope all of you guys can tune in, call in. The number's 252-228-5098. Let's try to limit it to one call per person if possible. So make sure you game plan your call. Don't call in at the first quarter after a pick and then Darnold throws 3 touchdowns and you got to come back and say, I'm sorry for overreacting. Think about what you want to say. So we can move that post game along. We've got someone from Play Like a Jet, I believe. Her name is Casey. She is a I got to go look up her name. I still got to get her contact info. So she's going to come on Giant J.C. Horn fan. And she's going to come on and just talk about, you know, for a few minutes after the game, what she saw on the field. We'll be here. I encourage all of you to smash the thumbs up button, subscribe, hit the notification bell if you're on YouTube, Facebook, or Periscope. Don't forget that this is podcasted, syndicated as an audio podcast on all the major podcast outlets. So just Google Carolina Panthers podcast, find the C3 Panthers podcast. That's the name of the show. And subscribe and be a part of our community. Cody, how can they find you? Tomorrow you got some. Are you doing the free for all?
Oh, you already know. Hey, if it's a Friday, then you already know it's gonna be a free for all. We will try our best to keep it PG-13 with everybody's clothes on, God willing. But yeah, man, listen, we're going to do a Friday free for all tomorrow at 7 p.m. Anybody's welcome to come on there and chill and tell me what they think about this Panthers matchup we have coming up. And then, yeah, we will be live after the game on Sunday here to react with all of you awesome Panther fans about all the happenings of the most recent matchup with the Jets. So Ten, watch out for us.
Ten got a good comment. He said he calls it the freak for all.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I love it. All right. My name's Tony Dunn.
If there's going to be nudity, I at least hope that it's not just men all the time.
I know. my name's Tony Dunn. They call me the professor. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast. Big thanks to Joe Person's insight as we continue to try to bring you kind of not impromptu, but shorter focused discussions. We got some good stuff coverage with the with the Saints coming up next week. So stay tuned for those previews. And we're going to keep rolling this out. Follow me on Twitter @cat_chronicles. You can find my man Cody Lack on Twitter. And until then, keep pounding. Take us out of here, Cody.
Keep pounding, y'all.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.